Well, the Stonewall Inn was mafia down to its bones. And it was a place where one of the most nefarious members of our community worked, Skull Murphy. And he had been running a blackmail operation against gay people for a decade. And he used the Stonewall Inn both as a place to find prostitutes to get involved with gay men, and use it as a site to get information on those men to blackmail them. And his blackmail extended to where we're sitting now, that is to Wall Street. And the mafia, through information gotten at the Stonewall Inn, was able to put the squeeze on homosexual employees of bonds houses, and they stole lots of bonds, and these were ended up on the streets of Europe, led all back here to Stonewall Inn and Wall Street. Before the end of June in 1969, there had never been a mass homosexual sustained uprising against police oppression in the United States. There had been a small outburst at a cafeteria in San Francisco a couple of years prior, but that was, you know, like something that lasted a couple of hours, didn't involve a whole neighborhood. But in 1969, in response to a raid by the 1st Division Morals Department on the Stonewall Bar, which was a very serious raid because it happened at the height of action late on a Friday night. School was just out. The place was packed. You're in an entertainment district, Greenwich Village, and the police came in for a very heavy operation. They intended to shut the bar down for good, and incidentally, they did do that. And the citizenry sensed, the gay citizenry sensed, that something very valuable was being taken away from them, because while the Stonewall Inn was a site of blackmail, this was something very few people were aware of. Most of the crowd there was young. It was the young people were not targets for the blackmail. And it was a place they loved to go, to hang out, to dance. It was the only dance spot in New York City that survived over for more than a short period of time, where gay men could dance without interruption, where they could slow dance, you know? And a culture began to develop there. And because the Stonewall had lasted a long time, people had a sense of identity with the club. And everybody in the community went there. You know, it wasn't just a bar for one set. You know, it wasn't just the leather set or the college kids or the street kids or transgender. Everybody was welcome there. And so when that bar was under attack, the whole community felt under attack.
Who were some of the heroes that emerged out of the Stonewall riots?
Well, to my mind, I think everybody who was there who resisted the police should be called a hero. But we have to really single out, okay, several of them. First of all, I would say the gay street youth. These are homeless youth who could not hide that they were gay. They've been thrown out of their families or the military because they could not hide they were gay. They sought refuge in Greenwich Village, but they found nobody else to take them in. They made the Stonewall Inn their own home. And these are the people who fought the first and fought the fiercest. These were not transgender people. These were just mainly effeminate young boys. Then there are people who crossed gender lines. There were the scare queens, that is, men who might affect a feminine form of dress without going as far as being in dresses. You know, they would have plucked eyebrows maybe and wear a little makeup, but wouldn't try to hide the fact they were men. There were the transvestites and transsexuals who were there. And then there was a woman who played an extremely vital role, who fought fiercely with the police and was clubbed by them. And we don't know who she was. We don't know how she regarded herself. But, you know, she was certainly a person who violated the gender norms for a time. She was in male dress. She had short hair. She was a very physically strong, masculine-appearing woman. And her fight with the police did much to inspire the crowd and probably was the tipping point in the riot.
After those days of rioting, what happened politically and organizationally in the gay community?
As soon as the riots were over, and even while they were going on, Because this is something you have to understand, that many thousands of people participated in over 6 days. You know, even the second day, people were coming all the way back from Fire Island just to see what was happening. News of this traveled very fast by telephone, newsletter, everything. People immediately sensed that nothing was going to be the same after this, at least locally. Nothing would be the same. I don't think many people had an idea of where it was going to go, but they knew it was a watershed event. Thankfully, there were a few people who realized that while this energy had been released, so they had to do something to capture the energy and make something out of it, or else the golden opportunity would be missed. And so initially, there was a decision to create a radical militant organization founded mainly upon ideas and models that had been created by the New Left. And that first organization was called the Gay Liberation Front. You can note right away that the two things that you're using the word gay, as opposed to before the use matachine, homophile, words that tended to obscure who we were.
How did that term come about, and why did they use it?
Well, gay had been used pretty widely in the gay community, but it was still something of a code word. It was, you know, homosexual, queer, faggot were probably the more common terms, whereas I guess the word gay had just never been sullied with any kind of negative connotations. And it had already been used on the West Coast, for example, in some of the political organizing that preceded Stonewall. And I think it was the one word that was somewhat accepted in the community that you know, had no negative connotations, that had positive connotations even. Liberation Front was chosen partly as an homage to the Viet Cong, what's the word, in Vietnam, the Liberation Front, National Liberation Front. It was also chosen because the ideology of the first organization was to be a front, that is, a loose association of individuals and organizations. They wanted to get away from a very hierarchical, bureaucratic structure.
Of course, the Gay Liberation Front is no longer here, but what other organizations sprang up that are perhaps now still in existence?
Oh, well, I'm afraid none of those organizations are still in existence, but their progeny are. You know, immediately after the Gay Liberation Front, we had, I think is indubitably the most important organization, the Gay Activist Alliance, because it had a very practical and very intelligent means of political organizing that really succeeded in making the message of Stonewall, that is, a militancy of pride, of political activism, spread across the United States and then around the world. Soon after that, you had, for example, you had the Lesbian Feminist Organization. I know I'm going to forget a lot that I should remember. But you did have the organization only a few years after Stonewall, which was originally, I think, called the National Gay Task Force, now the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, which is still with us. So of the early organizations, that is probably the one that is still with us. Although I wouldn't call it a gay liberation organization, but it certainly is a progressive gay organization.
What were the repercussions of Stonewall on the rest of, say, San Francisco or other pockets of the gay community?
Well, there'd already been a militancy of a flavor and kind that characterized Stonewall on the West Coast before it happened here. But I think the critical difference is that two things. One is this got into the mass media, one. Number two, the model that came into being with the Gay Activist Alliance was a model that could be exported and was exported so that it really spread that philosophy, whereas the actions that took place on the West Coast about 3 to 6 months before Stonewall, they remained local. They did not spread. There was a spread from San Francisco to L.A., but it remained that. It did not go national. And what happened with Stonewall, what happened with the gay liberation movement that came out of Stonewall spread nationally, and it mushroomed. So that, you know, before Stonewall, there were no gay publications in New York City that were on newsstands. I think less than 9 months after Stonewall, you had three local gay published, gay run, gay edited, gay written publications that you could get on newsstands. You had three local gay newspapers It was amazing. Frank Kameny said that they had about approximately 50 homophile organizations before Stonewall and around 1,000 a couple of years after. That was directly because of the gay liberation movement, which was caused by the Stonewall riots. That's why I titled my book. See, Stonewall is only important because it created the gay liberation movement. It would not be important otherwise. It would be a footnote in history. But because it created the Gay Liberation Front and the Gay Activist Alliance, and they spread nationwide. So you had GLF and GAA chapters all across America. That's why Stonewall is important. That's why I titled my book, Stonewall, the Riots That Sparked the Gay Revolution. So it's two interdependent phenomena, the riots and then the gay liberation movement.
David, as our final question, is there a recognition among young gay people about the importance of Stonewall?
Generally, I think not. I mean, I think a lot of people know the word. They know it was a turning point, but I don't think they really know the history in any depth. And even sadder, they don't know the history of the gay liberation movement. They probably couldn't tell you what GLF was, what GAA was. They couldn't tell you who Michael Brown, Marty Robinson, Arthur Evans, Jim Iles, Lois Hart, all these people who were so critical to making the gay liberation movement happen, without which you and I would not be sitting here today having this conversation. And, you know, we should know those names just as black people know the names of Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. You know, we should really know those names. And it saddens me that to this day, you know, you don't see those early militants who are still alive, like Barbara Giddings or Frank Kameny, never on the cover of one of our national magazines, you know. Whereas black magazines do occasionally put an important gay political figure from their history on the covers of their magazines.
Well, David Carter, who is the author of Stonewall, the Riots That Sparked the Gay Revolution, I want to thank you for coming on the air of WBAI in the morning show. Thank you very much.